Well, the word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word our testimony. Hallelujah. So how many of you would be so bold to say, I felt the healing power of God at work in my body tonight? Amen, and testify. Hallelujah, let's say it, I'm healed. I am healed. I am whole. I love that. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. So just really quick, tell somebody right around you what you've been healed of. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. My headache's gone. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. For he is the God that makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's the way maker. He does the impossible every day. And we're still trying to figure it out how he does it. But I know he does it. Amen. You know, we're on planet Earth. And planet Earth is just a dot. Just a dot in this universe. But he made it all. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. He made you, he made me. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to just spend some time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, my headache's gone. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Amen. Well, as you know, we are in revival. And things are changing. Amen. Things are changing. You know, the only thing constant is change in this life. And God is faithful through all the changes. Amen. Pastor Les talked about change on Sunday morning. I believe it's a direction by the Holy Spirit. He has us on the move. Amen. Wherever he goes, wherever he leads, we will follow. Amen. Whatever he says, we will heed. Just like Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Not these natural ears, but the ears of your spirit. With your heart, may you receive from the Lord. Amen. And so we've been hearing, this is the year of the great breaking loose. I get happy just thinking about it. Good things are happening. Amen. You know, that should be our confession every day. Good things are happening to me. Now, I rejoice with you. It's happening to you too. But I'm going to take it as a promises of God or yes and amen unto me and to my house. And so good things are happening to me. Amen. And it's all working out for my good and for his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we're so thankful. Amen. But we have this. We've received those words. And of course, Pastor Wayne, this is the year we put it on the screen higher and higher in 2016. That means we're going to have to leave where we were to get to where he wants us to be. That means we're going to have to unbuckle our seat belts and say, Lord, wherever you tell us to go, let's go. Safety will keep us in a place where the Lord is trying to lead us out of. But yet we can trust that we will always be perfectly protected in his hand. Amen. There's protection in his hand. There's protection in his plan. But it's going to take stepping out of the boat to get there. Amen. Last time I was honored to have the pulpit, that was my message, was leaving the ship. It's on the podcast if you missed it. But there are some things that we need to leave so we can arrive to some other things. There are some traditions of men that we need to leave because they've been hindering the power of God to be in effect in our lives. Amen. You know, we're to have faith in God, not to have faith in our prayers, but to have faith in the one who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers, who's moved by our prayers. Amen. Now, we're people who pray. Amen. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Who's the one that's going to get you through? He is. Amen. Don't have faith in the government or have faith in your pension or have faith in your employer or have faith in God. There's that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And there's a verse that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. That's a decision of your will. I will follow you, Lord, even if it means stepping out of the boat. Even if I'm a shaken. I remember the first couple times I ministered, my knees were knocking, I was sweating, I was shaking. I was looking at me, not looking at him. That's what Peter did. He started to look at the wind and the waves instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus. He was already on the water, but he began to sink. So it's possible to leave the boat, but then to get your eyes on other things and start to sink in doubt and unbelief and fear. But let us keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm endeavoring to be led because there's so many different ways we could go. Hallelujah. But he has what we need. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look over at that at Mark chapter 4. We have to leave the boat, step out of the boat, to walk on the water. And leaving something is not always a comfortable situation. I use the illustration in my message about when I was in my mother's womb, when the time had come for me to be born. The scriptures call it birth pangs. My mother, she knew she was in labor. She had the pain of labor. Her water had broken. And I was on the way. And you can ask her. She's going to visit one day. My faith is set. She's going to come to Maui. You can ask her. But I can testify to it that she felt some pains. And I left a comfortable zone in the womb to come to an uncomfortable zone full of light and noise, strange smells, people wrapping me up and rubbing my body, all that, slime on the babies. Sorry if you're a visual person. And it grosses you out. But we left one atmosphere to enter into another atmosphere. You know, we don't think about it this way, but we are surrounded in an ocean of oxygen right now, of gases. There's all kinds of different things, not just oxygen. There's carbon monoxide, there's nitrogen, there's things in the air right now. You can't see it, but we're surrounded in an ocean, an atmosphere of gases. I went from an atmosphere of water to an atmosphere of gases and a whole new experience. Thank God I didn't stay a baby. I grew up. But how many know that we're still growing? And there are still things that we need to leave that we can enter into some new things. And the Spirit of the Lord says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Amen. Say it with me. This is my season. This is my time. This is my day. Hallelujah. I'm not going to miss it. You know, if you sit, there's the bus stop right outside the church here, and there's some chairs set up. There's not an actual bench, but there's some chairs set up. Somebody put them there. And if you're waiting for the bus, you're probably sitting on the chair waiting. But you'll see the bus come in the distance with the lights, and you say, oh, that's the bus. It's taller than any other vehicle. You can recognize it. You can see that it's coming. The time is coming. But when the bus comes and the door opens, it's not time to sit on the bench. It's time to get up and get in the bus. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's all of same heart and same mind get up and get on the bus. Amen. Leave the past and enter into the glorious future. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is. You know, your future that's bright, it starts right now. For now, faith is. It's now. Hallelujah. Your future is bright right now. And it's just going to continue to get brighter and brighter. Amen. So what are you waiting on? Yes, we wait on God for instruction, but when he speaks, we move. For faith without works is dead. Amen. Faith without works is dead. So wherever he leads us, we will follow. Amen. In Mark chapter 4, in the parable of the sower, if you go down to verse 13, Jesus already told the parable of the sower in the verses above, but in the verse 13, I'm reading in the New King James tonight, Jesus said to the disciples, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So this is the key to understanding all the rest of the parables, is the parable of the sower. Same principle. Jesus said, verse 14, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. When does he come? He doesn't wait, because he knows that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He knows that if we latch on to what God has said and let the seed of the word take root in us, he won't have the chance to overcome us in the days ahead. So he comes immediately to take that word away. So there are those, and they're on the wayside. So we see that there are wayside Christians. There are wayside believers. There are wayside disciples. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. Hard-headed group. When they hear the word, immediately, see now, immediately they receive it, and with gladness. Oh, Pastor, that was the right word at the right time. That was exactly what I needed. I'm so thankful that you preached that message. I know I was supposed to be here. I know you were supposed to say those things. And if not for anybody else, that was for me. I know we've all been there, haven't we? I have. I mean, a rhema word from God, just a spoken word by the Holy Spirit through his messenger, whoever it is. But verse 17, they get really happy. They receive it immediately with gladness. Verse 17, but they have no root in themselves. Now notice it wasn't the pastor's roots that were the problem. I don't believe in no-fault Christianity. It's not my fault. Must be your fault. We're God's children. He loves us enough. He wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to stay babies. He loves babies. We should love babies in Christ. Amen. And we should love teenagers too. And we should love adults. Amen. And we should love the one that wanders off and, like Jesus, leave the 99 to go get the one. Even if they are a knucklehead. Even if it is the 50,000th time they've done the thing that they've done. For he is merciful, and he is full of mercy and graciousness and kindness. And he's not willing that one should perish, but that all should come unto him. Read the story of the prodigal son. The father didn't wait for him to get there. He was looking for him. He was looking for him every day. And he had preparation set aside for that day when he would return. And he saw him afar off. And he ran out to meet him. He didn't shame him. He didn't put him in condemnation. He received him. He put a ring on his finger. He put a robe on his back. He clothed him with the household goods, and he threw a party. That's our Father. Amen. Don't give up on people, because God hasn't given up on you. Amen. Remember that in traffic. Or as you're pushing your cart around Costco, those are people that Jesus loves too. Can I get a witness? Pastor, don't talk about that. That hurt, man. Well, I know, because that's what the Holy Spirit, he corrects us in love that we would grow. He prunes us that we would increase and increase and increase and bear much more fruit. A loving father corrects his children or their illegitimate children, the word says. And God is our Father, and he corrects us because he loves us free of shame and condemnation. It's a new concept for us to receive and to learn and to grow into. But his love, when you come to him, when you've done something wrong, when you've done something stupid and you can't blame anybody else, you know it's you and you made the choice and you did it, and you come to him and say, Father, I fall on your mercy. I repent. He restores. Hallelujah. There's more grace for the humble. Amen. Verse 17, they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So they immediately received it with gladness, with joy. But then put a little pressure on, put a little persecution. Oh, you go to that church. Mm-hmm. You're one of those people. You really think that all these things recorded in that book really happened? Yeah, I'll testify, I'll witness. Yes, I do. I know in whom I have believed. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not conveniently seek him. That's a 21st century Christian paraphrase. Those who occasionally seek him. No, those who diligently seek him. Amen. Diligently seek him. So these they immediately received with gladness, but then a little tribulation, a little persecution, a little pressure for the word's sake. Because the enemy, he doesn't necessarily care about you. He cares about the word having its working power within you that raised Christ from the dead. Because if that word gets a hold and gets roots in you, you can find out that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There is nothing impossible that you will face in this life. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. He comes against the word. Because God spoke, and all that we see was created. And we have the same power with faith in God that when we speak, we alter our lives. We alter and change the atmosphere. Amen. You can change the atmosphere where you work. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Demons have no authority to operate in my presence. If they dare manifest, they'll be dealt with and cast out, because that's what Jesus modeled. He said very little to demons. Shut up. Come out. Not 4 hours of travailing. He spoke with authority and with the command of faith. You be quiet and you come out. Now in the case of the man possessed with the legion, he asks, what is your name? So we are legion, for we are many. And think of this, the capacity of one human spirit held enough evil activity to drive a whole herd of swine into the sea. There is a great capacity for us to receive from God. But in the alternate, there is also, if you open doors to the enemy, he will accommodate. But we have authority in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. If we would understand who we are in Christ and walk in our authority, we can clear mental institutions. Hallelujah. Feel a little stretch. Well, it's higher and higher. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is a different kind. These are the stony ground. They stumble when the enemy comes against with persecution for the word's sake. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Okay, that's good. They heard the word. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. What are we instructed to do with the cares of this world? Cast all of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Well, that settles that. But blessed are the doers of the word and not just the hearers only. Amen. You know, how long does it take to cast a care? As long as it takes. If it's your electric bill that you got in the mail, but really it's living over your head after you opened it up, because that's all you can think about, you've let that become a care in your life. Well, you're supposed to cast the care upon the Lord. Problem is, a lot of us, we do it like we're fly fishing. We put the care on the hook, we cast it over to the Lord, and then we bring it on back. But we're to cast the care upon the Lord, cut the line, leave it with him, and trust that he's well able, more than qualified. He's more qualified than us to take care of us. Amen. And he's our good father, so he takes care of us out of love, for he is love. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't let the cares of this world choke out the word. Then the deceitfulness of riches. You know, brother Kenneth E. Hagin, Dad Hagin, he proved this out, that you can, in his own life as a living testimony, that the Lord made him rich by being led by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't after riches, but the Lord led him in all of his investments and all of his business that he took for his family and for the ministry was concerned. He endeavored to be led by the Holy Spirit. And many things that looked really good here in the world system, if the Holy Spirit prompted him, directed him, this is a no, don't be part of this, don't do this, don't join with these people, he was protected. Amen. And preserved and kept. And when other ministries went down, the Lord sustained him because he learned to hear and to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the enemy comes with the temptation because we see with our eyes, and if it looks good, then we have that desire to have it in our life. But when you realize that he is the very best thing in this universe, and as we, Matthew 6:33 tells us, as we seek him first and his righteousness, his way of doing things, that all these things that the world seeks after, oh man, you got to get that nice house. You got to get that new car. You got to get that new computer. You got to get that new phone. And they just seek after it. How many hours can I work to get it? How can I add this to myself? But in the kingdom, Jesus turned that on its head, said, seek me first, and all these things I'll add unto you. Now, there'll be some hearing and obeying along the way. Amen. Wherever he leads, I will follow. Just like Mary said at the wedding of Cana, whatever he tells you to do, do it. The problem is we hear with our heart, but our head gets in the way a lot of the times. Most of us, if we make an appointment and we visit with Pastor Wayne and Robin and we need counsel, a lot of us, if we're honest, we already know what to do here in our heart before we even went into the meeting. And a lot of the things, we've just been waiting for someone else to confirm what the Lord has already instructed us to do by His Spirit. We have a more sure word. We have a witness by the Holy Ghost on the inside. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. I'm not saying not to receive counsel. It's wisdom to receive counsel. Amen. Because there are those who know more than we do, that have been places we have not been, but don't override the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But a lot of times, I already knew what I was supposed to do. And if I just own my mess and come to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And He tells me exactly what He told me to do 30 days prior. And I took 30 days wasting, missing my day of visitation, and it could have come 30 days sooner. It's not God's fault, my lack of receiving a lot of the promises that He has for me. It's hearing, heeding, obeying, receiving. Amen. So the enemy comes and he makes it very desirable, the riches of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, ask a rich person what they're doing. Most of them are fighting to keep at that level and to keep all the stuff that they've attained. And also they have to maintain all the things that they've attained. And one way, Pastor Keith Moore said it this way, one way to know if the Lord's added something to you or if you've added it to yourself is, are you able to maintain it? I bought a truck once. I had to have it. It had big payments. I was 18. I was not walking in wisdom. In fact, I was rejecting wisdom. But I had to have it. Deceitfulness of riches, these things I had to have. Had to add it to myself. Had to take care of it. Had to pay for it. Had to insure it. And I'm not against hard work and all of that and taking care of things that need to be taken care of. But if the Lord didn't instruct you to get it, you're actually walking in disobedience. I learned the hard way. So I've made decisions not to do that. Amen. And I've watched the Lord add to us desires of our heart as we take another step and trust Him. If it's God today, it's God tomorrow. I wasn't able to maintain the truck. Truck had problems. Truck had issues that if I was at a place of maturity and a place of financial stability, I probably would have been able to repair some things. But because I wasn't able to. So one way to recognize, is the Lord adding something to you, or is it you adding to yourself, is are you able to maintain that thing, that bigger house? You know, having had a bigger house and now in a smaller space, it's easier to clean a smaller space. Quick, someone's coming over, clean. Well, if you've got 15,000 square feet, yeah, you watch these shows on TV about these houses and these cribs on TV and stuff. And, oh, they have a 10-car garage and, you know, they have this 10 acres. Well, that grass has to be cut. That 15, 20,000 square foot pool, someone has to take care of that. Okay? When a storm comes and you have a roof that gets damaged, that's a big roof and a big cost to repair that. How about just the electric bill and the utilities and every, you know, it's not just having the thing, but being able to keep up with the thing. And the Spirit of God will help us where we are ignorant or we're not so bright in areas. The Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of wisdom. And a lot of times His voice just sounds like, uh-uh. Or, but when it's a yes, we're led by peace. There's that peace in your heart. There's that knowing. Brother Hagin would say that velvety feeling on the inside. Amen. We're to be led by peace. Amen. So what happened was the cares of this world, we know we're supposed to cast the cares. Why do we know that? Because we're in the Word. Amen. And we're doers of the Word. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the Word and it becomes unfruitful. So the Word, which has the power to transform our lives, is choked out and becomes unfruitful because of these other things. Not because the Word is unfruitful, but these things choke out the Word and it becomes unfruitful in our lives. Our desire for other things, our desire to, well, I heard there was a special down at the resort on breakfast, so I'm just going to go to breakfast with the family on Sunday, and you know, it's just, we'll go to church next week. We'll make it up. Oh, I really want this next new thing, and I know that my tithe belongs to the Lord, but I really want this next new thing, so Lord, I'll make it up. I can say I've been there. Not a good place. But God is so gracious and so merciful. And I wonder why the Word wasn't taking root, why it wasn't having effect, why I wasn't seeing fruit in my life, in my finances specifically. Why wasn't I seeing fruit? Consider your ways. Why do we work all these days and all these hours, but it seems like our money is going into a bag full of holes? The Lord said, consider your ways. Why is my house, the Lord says, why is my house in ruins, but you live in your paneled, beautiful home that's taken care of and maintained and got the new paint colors and the newest materials, but the Lord's house is falling apart. There's a priority shift that needs to take place. The Lord says, consider your ways. Amen. Don't miss the day of your visitation. So these things, and the devil, he is so sly. He will get you to lie to yourself if you listen to him, because he's the father of all lies. And if you come into agreement with him, well, I deserve this. I deserve that. We deserve that. We're just going to add it to ourselves early. Wisdom cries out in the streets. The Lord is merciful. Even in that situation, he will... And all he can try to help you to do the right thing. But we see here the Word becomes unfruitful because of these different things, because we're not kingdom focused. Verse 20, but these are ones sown on good ground. Good ground, not stony. Not thorns and thistles, but good ground. Say with me, I'm good ground. Now the Word will prove that. Amen. The Word proves us. James talks about it. We look into the Word like a mirror and it shows us what we really look like. Good, bad, and the ugly. Lord, I got holes in here in this side. I look like Swiss cheese. This side looks great, but this side over here, he's like, well, you haven't received my word on financial provision, and that's why you're lacking. You're missing all these holes right here, but I can add to you. I can fill you in. Hallelujah. Don't be a Swiss cheese Christian. Amen. Full of holes. No, be complete in him. Receive from his word. Be built up. Be established. Be strengthened. Be aware of the devil's devices. Be aware of how he operates. He comes immediately to take the word away. But we recognize that now faith is. If we mix faith with the word of God, we will receive the promises of God. Amen. So I'm not going to dwell in the past. I may not have been good ground before. But this is a new day. Amen. This is my day. And I am good ground for the word. And this is what verse 20 says about the good ground. Those who hear the word, accept the word, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold return. Now really quickly, just turn over to John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus, red letters, and if you have a red letter edition Bible, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Pruning is a process of taking away, too. But if you're a gardener, you know that you prune the lower branches that the branches that have the fruit can sustain. Because every, and especially if you have roses, you know that every rose bush can't sustain the roses, the buds that it produces. Did you know that? It produces too much. We serve a God of too much. Even in the rose bushes, he shows up. It produces so many rose buds that there's so many, but the plant itself can't sustain that many, so a gardener has to come in and to prune away and get the best rose buds to have the best roses. Well, our Father, he's a wise gardener. Amen. You don't need more Netflix. You need more of the Word. You need more of the Word. You need more of the Word. You don't need more time with whoever it is. Well, if I just, you know, they make me feel good about myself. And you need time with Jesus. Amen. Time in his Word. And receive his Word. Receive his sayings. Amen. It says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, for now faith is. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Say with me, nothing. What can you do apart from him? Nothing. Nothing worthwhile, nothing good, nothing praiseworthy, nothing to be esteemed, but with him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With him I can bear fruit, and not just fruit, but fruit that remains. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we see in Psalms chapter 1, what does this look like to be a healthy tree? What does it look like to be a healthy believer who's not just a hearer but a doer, not just one that hears the word and does it for sake of saving face, but one who does it with mixing faith with the word that's been heard, not just doing it because it's popular, because if you're just doing it because it's popular and it's just a fad, when tribulation and persecution arises, you'll say, forget that. This brought all this trouble and persecution. But no, it came because of the word. You've been speaking the word. You've been learning the word. But let the word have its full place in you. Amen. What are you going to look like as good ground? Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Just in that first verse, you can receive a lot of master keys for life. But verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. His delight. And we get excited about things. You like a show. I mentioned Netflix. A new season comes out. You get delighted. Yeah, I get to see what happened to whoever was in this story that isn't even a real person and doesn't exist. But hey, I'm entertained. We have to watch it, though, because the devil will entertain us to death and we'll have no fruit. And where Jesus said, go ye into all the world, we'll be sitting ye in front of the TV. Can I get an amen? Save your rotten fruit. See, if we came to church and the Holy Spirit didn't deal with anything in any one of our lives, we didn't really come to church. When we come to church and we open our hearts before the Lord and he does heart surgery, then we know that we've been in his presence and that we're growing and we're changing and we're going higher and higher. Hallelujah. He loves us enough to not let us stay the same. We've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You hear that? Whatever he does shall prosper. And Psalm 92, verse 12, tells us, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Amen. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. That is a verse to say amen about. Even in old age, I'm going to bear fruit, and I'm going to be fresh and flourishing. Amen. Maybe you should print that out and put it on your mirror at home. Oh, hallelujah. Though this body is decaying on the inside, things are getting better and better. Hallelujah. For the glory of the Lord we have received. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are to be like the trees planted by the living water. See, what happens is when tough times come, when persecution comes, when drought is all around, it doesn't matter because our roots run deep. And though it may look like the riverbed has dried up, there's an aquifer down below. Even in the desert, there can be palm trees in the middle of a desert and have an oasis and even that pond be dried up. But down below, if you dig just a little bit, you just dig a little bit, you just mix a little faith with the word, you dig a little bit, and that water starts to flow. Jesus said, from our belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. See, there is a reservoir of the Spirit in this place. For this is a place where those will come. And this is a place where many will go from. And this is a place of ministry. This is a place of training. This is a place of filling. So be filled, be filled, be filled to the overflow. Be filled to the overflow. Hallelujah. Be filled to the overflow. Ha ha ha. For if you do not bring your vessel and partake of the river that is flowing, it is not my fault, says the Lord. For there is a flow of the Spirit. There is an overflow of the Spirit. So come and bring your vessel, and don't be an empty vessel, but be a vessel that is filled, filled, filled to the overflow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, hallelujah. If we would just stand and lift our hands. Now, Pastor Wayne told me not to leave until I laid hands on somebody. So I'm just following instructions, but I believe that it's by the Spirit of the Lord. There are those here tonight that even you haven't been here in a while, but the Holy Spirit would have you to come tonight to hear the word and act on it. And then for the word that came forth by the Spirit to, it is time to be filled to the overflow. It is time not to just be, it's not time to be an empty vessel. Empty vessels make a lot of noise, but they don't benefit anyone. It's time to be filled to the overflow, filled to be being filled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So if that's you and say, I just need a touch from God, this is a point of contact. If you come up to receive, I'm going to lay hands upon you. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is taking hold as I lay hands upon you, and that you will be charged up, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit. And if you need a refilling, that you'll be refilled, because this is a refilling station. Amen. You know what happens? We're vessels, and we leak, and we overflow on other people, and we use up the supply that the Lord has given us. That's why we say, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Amen, because we ate that. That was yesterday. This is a new day. Amen, and he has supply for tomorrow. But we are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So if that's, say, I want to be filled. I want to be refilled. I want to be charged. I want to be activated. My faith has been laid dormant, and I want to activate that faith. I'm going to speak with my mouth and declare that my future is bright. Hallelujah. Any of those things, if that's you, just come on up to the front. I'm going to lay hands, and we believe that this is a turning point in your life. Amen. This is a turning point. Hallelujah. Not hot, not lukewarm, but it's time to be on fire for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father.
If you would just pray in your prayer language. Thank you, Father.
Activation. Yes, Father. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh. For this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Ha ha ha, the pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh. Ha ha ha. So neither, it does not matter if you are young or if you are old or if you are rich or if you are poor or if you were born in the right neighborhood or the wrong neighborhood. Oh, for this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Yes, I am taking you places. I am taking you places, places that I have shown you in the Spirit, and I will lead you and guide you step by step, and you will arrive at that place and know this is the place I'm supposed to be, and this is the place that I am to stand in, and this is what I am to do. Ha ha ha. And you will know that this is the right place. This is the right place. And I know the desires of your heart, and they shall come to pass. Hallelujah. 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 I've heard you in the night. I've heard you in the night. I've seen you with words that cannot even be expressed, but just tears that flow. I've seen you. And it shall come to
pass. Ha. Oh, so come ste. Breco sono besteca. Bruco sono no masteca.
I hear this. All you have to do is last longer. All you have to do is last longer than the enemy's attack.
Oh, but gird your loins with the word of his power. Oh, so come besteca. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Also, if you need healing in your body tonight, Jesus is the great physician. He is the healer. And he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He healed them all. So if you're here tonight and you need healing in your physical body and you want hands laid upon you, just come, be bold. Come forward and I'll lay hands on you. Hallelujah. And this now faith is. You're healed. Amen. And laying on of hands is a point of contact. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is that.
This is that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor you in all that has been said and done. Lord, in obedience to Pastor, I've done what he's asked to be done. Lord, I thank you for that which you have spoken, that gears would take their place, that things would make, this is a turning point, that there have been ingredients that you have been one by one putting in, and now you're activating those ingredients. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that good that you have done tonight. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name.